radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
You're listening to State of the Art with Michael Sterling and Paul Strolley right here on LA Talk Radio.
Yes, you are, and it is Thursday, October 25th.
Yes, it is.
It's a windy, dry, kind of allergy-ridden day.
It is.
I've decided with one of our guests.
Yes, it is. You're sounding a little Brenda Vaccaro.
Sounding
a little Tom
Waits. I think that's
Waits,
a good thing.
Joe Cocker.
I like her. Brenda and Joe.
Yeah. Do you?
Yeah.
Listen to you, Mr. Hollywood, somewhere, with just the first names.
Yeah.
Brenda and Joe. We're pals. Get a Christmas card every year. I should say before we do our little intro, we may get a phone call in from Virginia Madsen, where we haven't been able to reach her yet. So if I interrupt anyone who's speaking today, please accept my apologies in advance. We've got to take that call when it pops up, because she's a busy young lady. Not that all of us aren't busy. Let's thank our sponsors to start, though, shall we?
Absolutely. We'd like to thank our sponsor, Breakdown Services, the entertainment industry standard used around the world, providing the most professional means to reach talent agents as well as actors when casting a project. And to learn more about Breakdown Services, simply visit them at breakdownexpress.com.
We'd also like to acknowledge performingartslive.com, one of the Internet's most prominent listing sources for the live arts in Southern California. We're grateful to Performing Arts Live for lending their support to our live arts calendar.
We are indeed. And Paul, we have got a terrific show today, as you know, with two charming, very talented in-studio guests.
Yes.
And as you said, another very special guest joining us by telephone.
Yes.
And the first of our in-studio guests is not only a successful voiceover artist, but was an original cast member in Broadway's mega-hit musical Wicked, and has since become a fixture among musical theater stars in Los Angeles and throughout the country. Melissa Fahn will be joining us in our first half hour.
Yes. And also joining us, you know what? I forgot. We got new sound effects.
Yes, let me say that again.
Give that to me again.
Melissa Fahn will be joining us in our first half hour.
Nice, huh?
Nice.
I don't know. I think we got to pay those people a little more. I'm gonna go with the old. Let's see how the old group would have responded to them. There we go.
There you go.
Also in studio is another performer from The Great White Way, a dancer-singer from Fosse to Fiddler on the Roof. He's recently become a new father and a first-time author of the new children's book, A Smile for Everyone. Mark Reese is with us, and we'll be talking with him later in the hour. Hello, Mark.
Hello, Mark.
Hello.
Thanks for joining us.
He came out of his Zen mode.
How was your applause? Was your applause sufficient?
It sounded good.
Okay, good. You brought them all with you, so I figured you'd be happy with that. But thank you so much. And who else do we have?
Before we get to our special guest, who's on standby.
Yeah.
Or we're on standby, I guess.
Uh-huh.
But how was your week, Paul?
It was okay. You like the way I timed that? I just took a big swig of tea. Yes. Scotch, actually. Yeah. I have problems. It was good. It's good. Yeah. Just crazy, crazy, crazy busy directing and also in the same show doing a Christmas Twist with the Sea Glass Theater over at the Victory Theater Center.
Yes,
and it's coming along wonderfully. Yes, we open November 10th and hilarious mashup of half Christmas Carol, half Oliver Twist, both stories brought together.
It's becoming the Sea Glass kind of signature style.
Well,
of theater,
you know,
isn't it?
In all honesty, it's not us. It's there was a group I worked with 20 years ago in Chicago called the Illegitimate Players, a brilliant group of writers and sketch comics, all from that sort of Second City world, and they wrote these literary parodies. They wrote four of them. They wrote Glass Mendacity was a spoof of Tennessee Williams. All My Spite was a spoof of Arthur Miller. Of Grapes and Nuts was Steinbeck, and this one is A Christmas Twist. And 2 years ago, we did Of Grapes and Nuts,
yes,
and it was a huge hit.
Yes, I know.
Very, very funny. And so we're returning to the world of literary parody with The Christmas Twist.
But when I said that that seems to be your signature, I meant you as a company do comedy so well.
Yeah, we do. We've been
really
told that.
Hard to kind of come up to your standards with other theater companies.
That's nice. That's
seriously
nice to hear. Thank you so much.
Yeah, you guys are all brilliant.
Thank you so much. Yes, just read the cards, Michael. Read the cards.
Did you bring those
again? Very, very good. Thank you. You sound very natural reading that. I appreciate it. How was your week?
It's good. I have a little somebody I want to tell you about, but I also want to say something about The Beat Goes On. You remember?
Yes, the 70 plus?
Well, it's 60 plus. Everybody in this show, The Beat Goes On at Arena Stage in Hollywood, has to be 60 and older. And last week when I spoke about it, I believe that I said that they were running through November 11th, when in fact, I stand corrected, they were extended even before they opened, and they are running through November 25th.
Oh, okay.
But there are still seats to be sold, and I urge people to get out there and see this most amazing show by these most amazing performers, the likes of many that you'll know from television, who are just up there doing the stuff that made them, you know, noted in TV or musical theater or whatever their field was. But my gosh, it's a wonderful, entertaining evening. And folks, to see it, you simply go to the following. I'm going to give you the email address of the producer. That's how much I love this show. Pink Lady 7 at earthlink.net. Or you can call them at 818-606-6679 to get tickets.
And we've met Pink Lady.
She's
and
amazing.
I know why you're giving that information out, because she will cut you. I'm telling you.
What do you think I'm wearing a pink
rough,
shirt for?
She is a rough bro.
Pink
she's
shirt
a doll. Have either of you met her?
You're not talking about Kate Kaplan, are you? Because she's phenomenal. She's the creator
actually,
of the show,
Pink
right?
Lady is the
Pink
name
Lady?
Of the producer.
Oh, okay.
Who is a.k.a. Jackie Goldberg. But she is well known by the fact that she is pink from head to toe.
And
pink from head
you.
To toe. And she will cut you. She
and
will
a class
cut.
Act. And she's 80
she's
years old.
Act,
and she's amazing.
Yeah, she's a doll. She's a doll.
But yeah, let me just tell you real quickly. Shopping. Don't we see strange things when we go shopping?
Yes.
Right? Well, this is what I saw the other day. I'm going into a little store. And there's a woman riding up on a bike, about 45, 47, somewhere in there, blonde, stringy hair, very tan, midriff top, and a string bikini.
Mm.
What kind of store is this?
This is a regular drugstore.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's a methadone clinic, actually.
Yeah.
Parks the bike, it's inside the store. I get my little card, and I'm walking around, and I see this woman is coming toward me, and then I really see the string bikini in full view.
Well, all I can say is thank God for the string bikini, and let's hope it was thick string. That's all I'm saying.
Well, I was taken aback, needless to say. First of all, there are children in the store, so I thought that was kind of, treacherous and perhaps scary for them. And she passed me, and I said, "You're kidding, right?" That's all I said. I said it out loud. And she turned around, and she opened a refrigerator door that had ice cream and things in it. She turned around and looked at me and said, "You know you want it." Now, that she wasn't singling me out.
No.
She was doing it to everybody.
Of course. My Aunt Rose doesn't get out much, Michael, so, you know.
Dang. And I just thought, what is she on? But she left the store and continued riding that
Did she buy anything?
Oh no, of course
she didn't
not.
Buy anything.
No, she
no.
was
not
there
even the ice cream.
She was just in there for effect.
Totally what she might be able to get out of that place.
Where was this? Can you tell us what the grocery store
I
was?
I cannot.
Okay.
Neighborhood?
No. So, I can tell you the neighborhood.
Oh, it was a drugstore, right?
Drugstore.
Is
in
it
the
grocery?
Laurel Canyon
area. Laurel Canyon area. Okay. All right. I'll steer clear of that.
Yeah.
Let's say if Virginia calls, great. If she doesn't, we're more than sufficient with lovely and talented people here. So why don't we give our first guest her intro.
Okay.
And we'll go from there. Is that me or you, Michael?
That would be me.
Okay.
She is a multi-talented performer who can claim that she played the role of Glinda, the Good Witch, in the epic production of Wicked on Broadway and given life to one of animation's most beloved beauties, Miss Betty Boop, in the Betty Boop movie Mystery. She's also a great star of musical theater and a recording artist. She'll be making her cabaret debut November 5th in Grown Up Girl with her uber-talented musical director husband, Joel Alpers, and his jazz quartet, where else but at Sterling's upstairs at the Federal in North Hollywood's NoHo Arts District. Please welcome Melissa Fawn. Hello, Melissa.
You're too kind.
How are you?
Thank you. I'm good. I'm fighting it, too.
She has been having vocal issues that have plagued her for the last week.
This is a reschedule of your gig, right?
Yeah, it's a reschedule. Well, it's a reschedule for November 5th, like you said.
Right, from the 22nd of October to...
Yes.
Oh, good. So November 5th. So you'll have plenty of time to get over with. Yeah. Well, you said it's probably allergy, right?
Yeah. Well, today it's allergy, but I think, you know, I don't know what's been going around, but I heard there's something going around and I got it. And also, we have a little one, a 2.5-year-old, which I want to say hi to Jude. Hi, baby Jude.
Hi, baby Jude.
He's with his grandpa. Yay! you know, he's in and out of all of his little classes, and one day there's a runny nose, and the other day is not, and then it's my runny nose.
Right. It's the way of the world.
It revolves around, so I think that's what happened, so.
Well, but you're feeling better. You look fantastic.
Thank you.
And I'm so excited to have you and your husband there.
Oh, we're really excited to come, Michael. We really are.
How long have I been trying to get you to do this?
I think it's been about 5 years.
Yeah, I believe the word stalker was bandied about, wasn't it?
Wasn't it? Yes, there was a paper that was served to me.
So, and why are you sitting so far away?
There's a glass up between us, but we won't tell anyone.
That's right, exactly.
But, you know, it took me going on Facebook. It took me years to finally join the Facebook revolution.
Yeah.
The revolution.
The Libro di Faccia
revolution. Yeah.
And I joined it only, in July. And you were one of the first people that contacted me. And you said, so, Melissa, does this mean that we're going to work together now? And I said, yes, let's do this now. And I think it was just timing.
On a weekday.
Yeah. You know, he wore me down.
It's funny that you say that, because the Elaine Mattson's documentary that we're going to talk about today, it's because of Facebook that I know about it, because I was on Virginia and I are Facebook friends, and the documentary I Know a Woman Like That. I mean, this is a lot to be said for the reconnection and promotional capabilities of Facebook. Now, the show that you're doing, because I always ask this question, I know Michael's tired of hearing it, but the listeners always find it very interesting, is how, when you assemble an evening like this, is it an evening you've done before? Is there a formal narrative? Do you know the narrative and then fit the songs to it? Do you pick the songs? And is that enough questions for
one? That's a great question. No, that's a great question all in one. You know, when Joel and I were talking about this evening, we thought, you know, maybe it should be a little different than other evenings that we've done. We've never done a cabaret setting. Mm-hmm. We've played clubs around Los Angeles and one-offs where I've sang a couple songs here and there. And the evenings that I've done a whole set or two, you know, have been, it's just been a little different. This evening, I think, can be more personal. And, you know, we thought, do we need a name for the evening? And for some reason, Grown Up Girl has always been with me, that I've been this grown up with a little girl's voice. And also in theater keeps you so young somehow. You could be however age and still be playing 14 years old, or, you know, I did Little Women a couple months ago. I couldn't believe it. So, but, you know, there was just something about Grown Up Girl that kind of hit us. And the show really revolves around the evolution of our album, Avignon. And Avignon is very personal, about us coming together and the different trials and tribulations that we had to go through to get to each other at that time in our lives. And a lot of the songs on there are very personal. And we also threw in, though, songs that are covers, maybe some more songs that people will recognize. So we kind of intertwined songs from the album with songs that might be a little more popular in the cabaret community or
I think
in
that's
the
very
club
cool.
scene.
And very smart.
Yeah, no, it's not just playing at a club where we're just playing our album. So we wanted to do, so we're not doing every song from the album, but we're kind of combining it, and the through line is growing up and being in this business. And
Where does the track Cold fall in that description? Is that an
Cold.
Original?
Yeah. Yeah, it's an original, but not by us, actually. Okay. It's a cover by a wonderful songwriter. Her name is Jude Swift, which just is a coincidence.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
That little one is named Jude. But she is an amazing songwriter and jazz singer, and has been around for many years. And it was her song, and I heard it. And at the time that we were throwing the album together, so much was going on, and I thought it reflected a certain part of my life that needed to be addressed. And we address it in the evening in Grown Up Girl. And
can we hear a little bit of
that? Yeah, we have Cold here. So
I
let's
think that
give,
would be awesome.
Give that a little listen, cool. And we'll hear what Melissa is talking about. I'm looking forward to listening. This is Cold, and the album is Avignon?
Yes,
is that correct?
Avignon.
Okay, let's give it a listen.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Saucy.
Saucy, sexy.
Yes.
I kind of pictured Betty Boop singing that song.
Oh, I didn't picture Betty Boop at all.
Okay.
No.
Well, she was just
I pictured Betty Grable, maybe, but not Betty Boop. No.
Yeah.
That was no. That is interesting. It's an interesting dynamic with your voice, because what you said at the beginning, that you have a voice that you know you can play those roles. You mentioned Little Women and all that, but that it, I didn't get much of that at all in that one.
Yeah,
you know?
It's different, and I think that's what I try to convey as much as I can when I sing live. When I get a chance to do our own music or music that we're covering or music on our album, you know, to let people see me. And mm-hmm. and it might not be a theatrical, you know, character that I'm playing. It's just going to be me. And I think really, you know, we put so much heart and soul into this album that it's very personal. So I think whenever we play any one of those songs, even if it's not one written by us, I think it evokes something very personal about
well,
me.
Well, now your husband produced the album.
Yes, he did.
Joel Alpers.
Yes.
Yeah. Very talented Joel Alpers, who is a musical director in Los Angeles and for theater and many different types of things.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And he's doing 42nd Street, you said,
he's down at Musical Theater West? He's on drums. He's a sideman, a true sideman. He plays drums for everyone. He does theater. I was reading his credits.
Whoa. They're like
he's played,
amazing.
Yeah, no. he's quite a talent, and he's very inspiring to live with. And
yeah.
And he's an amazing drummer, an amazing songwriter.
But you met in a circumstance of working together
we
in
did.
A show, right?
We did. We met doing a really incredible show called Vox Lumiere.
Mm-hmm.
Vox Lumiere, Voice of Light. And basically it's a company that does live concerts to projected silent movies.
Oh,
so
wow.
It's all live music with live singers, live band, and then to the movie. So that one was Metropolis, the
oh,
Fritz
wow.
Lang. And and then we also did Hunchback of Notre Dame, and then we did several other different types of shows for Vox Lumiere, and we worked with them for many years, but we met on that. And it was in Avignon in the south of France at the Avignon New York Film Festival everything kind of happened 12 years ago.
12 years ago. I was just about to ask you that.
12 years ago, and I'll talk about that in the show as well. And the title track, Avignon, is really beautiful, and I'll sing that on the 5th as well.
The album is Avignon. I'm assuming that it's on CD Baby and Amazon and all that stuff and on iTunes.
iTunes
and,
everywhere, yeah.
Melissa, do you have a website yourself?
I do. It's www.melissafahn.com.
And spell your last name for the listeners.
F as in Frank, A-H-N.
Melissa Fahn. So we'll get that out there a couple more times. The album is Avignon. And the art, I don't know who did the photography and the graphic design on it, but it's wonderful.
Beautiful. Her name is Amy Thalig.
Oh,
Amy Thalig.
Gorgeous.
She's a great photographer. And she had never done an album cover before. And she
really?
Said, you know, I'd really like to do this. And she did it beautifully. And we said, what, you know, yes, because, you know, she was so close to the work as the photographer. We said, why not? And so, yeah, she did
no,
lovely work
great.
As you do.
Oh,
too,
yes. Thank you.
Paul.
No. And, you know, I tell you, the photo and I don't often encounter this in the nature of the graphic design work that I do, but it's not only a beautiful photo, but it's accurate. It looks like you. It doesn't look like you. So
that's
much
true.
Of the time,
thank
I tell you,
you
sometimes get some people, they come in with their headshots, and I'm like, oh, are you bringing this in for your great-granddaughter? You know?
Oh.
And it's just like, you know, people don't do timely headshots. They don't. You're supposed to take
You do.
I do. But, of course, I'm...
But you never change.
No. I have... You know what I have to? Because my hair is going gray, and if I don't do it, if I don't do it every year, they look at it and they see my hair less gray, and they go, "Oh, how old is this shot?" You know, so you got to do that. But I don't know. I'm more particular to that. Anyway.
Yes, you are.
So, Michael, give the stats for the listeners for when and
I
where
will.
This show is. Do you wouldn't happen to remember the address off the top of your head, would you?
Funny you ask. It's at Sterling's upstairs at the Federal, ladies and gentlemen, in North Hollywood's NoHo Arts District. Excuse me, and it's 5303 Lancashire Boulevard. Right across the street from the El Portal Theater, and across the street also from the California Art Institute.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know whether you know this, Paul, but the Federal, which is a very hip-happening restaurant in North Hollywood,
mm-hmm.
is the oldest standing building in all of the San Fernando Valley.
Really?
1926, it was built.
Really?
As a bank. And our stage was actually the bank vault.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh. Well, that says something large. About all the treasures that appear on
That's
it. How'd
right.
you like that? How'd you like
wow.
that segue, huh?
That's
was that
nice?
So one of those treasures will be appearing on Monday, November 8th. Dinner seating 6:30 to 7 p.m. Showtime 8 to 9 p.m. And it's by reservation only, ladies and gentlemen. And that's a simple call, 818-754-8700. Dinner and show. You don't get that very many places in Los Angeles.
No, you don't. And I tell you, I've said it before, and it's nothing against the previous location you were at, because I love Vitello's, and I loved the many shows I've seen there. I love performing there. But I just, something about the Federal and the open space and it being a little larger, and the Mark's nodding, and I know Mark is going to be able to enjoy that when he performs there as well. But there's just this great sort of, interestingly enough, one's much more intimate, the other's not, but they both have that funky New York supper club vibe. Mm-hmm. One is just happens to be more loft space than
right.
little intimate
right.
jazz club space.
Right.
But I really like it. And the fish and chips, man. Tell me.
I know you
I
say
keep
that.
Pushing
I,
the fish
that's
and chips.
Kind of you. Whenever you say that, but we have big sales on them.
You do?
Yeah.
They do.
Yeah,
well,
we
you
do.
Know, I get a cut of the tartar sauce concession there.
You might
yes,
get some
what.
Free fish and chips.
Enjoy it.
On
enjoy
me.
It. Hey.
But, you know, putting an act together, I wanted to ask you this because Paul kind of said, ask you about the process of it. Putting an act together for yourself like this, it is very personal. You've got an album that's personal, and now you're putting it into an act, but you're incorporating some other things that are representative of other areas of music that you like and have most, I'm assuming, been involved in. So for musical theater, perhaps? Yes? Yes?
Yes.
Nice. Do you have a preference? I mean, we get many performers and many who are mutual friends of ours, they can't walk into that world of cabaret because there is no protection for them. There is no set. There is no ensemble. There is no script. There is all of those things, you know, in which that's where their level of comfort is.
Mm-hmm.
David Engel, the great David Engel, it took me a long time to get David on that stage, but he did, and he did it beautifully with Tammy Tapp and Damiano.
Oh, yeah.
But they did not come in and do a cabaret that you're going to be doing, that type of thing. They did not talk about themselves. Everything was done musically, and the story was told by the lyrics of the music from beginning to end, about a couple who meets and starts dating, becomes more seriously involved, gets engaged to be married, does marry, the marriage starts falling apart, they divorce, and that's pretty much, you know, the amicably go their ways.
And did it work? Or
totally worked.
Okay, so it didn't need a narrative or something.
It was like a show within a show. It actually took place in a nightclub on the stage in the framework of the actual nightclub.
Well, we had Lainey Kazan on on the show here, and she said something very similar to that. It's like, as a singer, you're an actor, and you have to, you know, that's one of the reasons I'm not a big fan of a lot of these singing competition shows, because it's all about, you know, the curly cues and how long can you hold the note and all this. So there's no the sense of performing the song, or the song sort of coming out of you. It's one of the reasons most of the people that I dig in terms of music don't have conventionally good voices, because to me it's not about, you know, vocal gymnastics. It's about delivering that tale. I mentioned Tom Waits and Joe Cocker, Leonard Cohen, not Loudon Wainwright. None of them really singers, but the way they deliver. Michael Stipe too. Michael Stipe from REM. Song. You just get the impression that the song is just coming out of them, and that they're just a vessel for it.
Well, and Lainey, who opened Sterling's Upstairs at the Federal in April when we first started there, she
was your opening act.
She was.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
I was there.
Yeah, I was there. I was there.
A little too much sauce that
night? No, it wasn't that. I forgot, because there were so many other performers that night. That was the opening night. I was thinking about her solo.
Yes. Yeah. Well, that whole, 15, 20 minutes of the show with her telling these amazing stories of her career leading into her singing, and "This Is the Only Music That Will Make Me Dance," was pretty special.
Yeah. Mm. No, she was great. Wonderful woman.
It takes somebody with that kind of experience to be able to sing that kind of a song.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
She certainly did it beautifully.
Yeah.
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 But, what is your, I never really ask you, where is your level of comfort?
Well, you know, I think for so many years, you're work for hire for so many people. Mm-hmm. And that's a part of what we do. We bring to life other people's work, whether it's music, whether it's dialogue, whether it's everything. And, you know, I think getting into a live club or a cabaret setting is is very raw, and you're very vulnerable mm-hmm. as a performer, and that's why a lot of performers stay away from it. And you know, this is going to be different for me because it's going to bring a little. It's going to be raw, but it's going to be a little more rounded. Mm-hmm. So it'll have a little theatrical to it, but not too much because I feel like it's very liberating mm-hmm. to get on stage and sing your own music,
or
to sing other songs and interpret them in a way that maybe someone wouldn't.
That's
maybe
right.
I'll sing a song that a male singer would sing,
right.
and someone would go, oh, I never thought of that song that way. So, you know, we kind of try to take music that speaks to us, be it, you know, written for a man or a woman, be it an up-tempo or a ballad, and flip it around a little bit and make it unique. And but, you know, I have friends who have said, I could never do that. I could never do that, just mm-hmm. just like what you said. And the last show I did, I had a girlfriend of mine say, I couldn't do that, Melissa. I couldn't do what you did. And I love it. So I think it's going to be fun. I think it's going to be different. I don't think it's going to be the norm cabaret.
Huh.
I think it's just going to have a lot of different flavors.
Yeah.
And hopefully everyone will enjoy it. We're looking forward to it a lot.
Yeah.
And I was so disappointed that we had to cancel this past Monday. So I'm really looking forward
postpone.
To it.
Postpone.
Well, it makes the anticipation now even greater.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Even with the the guests who had called in, who are all calling
yeah.
back in to clear their schedule to
yeah.
come on board. For this.
And so many people have contacted me now saying, you know, the new date works better for me.
Right.
So I have so many people who have contacted now. So I'm
hoping. You were never sick at all, were you? This
no.
is just marketing.
PR ploy.
This is just marketing.
It was a PR ploy.
Yeah.
It was a PR ploy. I want to take a moment just to say hi to my parents, Michael and Millie Fawn. My dad is a jazz drummer, and it was such a great influence to me. I'm going to get choked up just talking about him. Great influence to me musically.
Oh.
And I think they're listening right now.
Well, okay.
And they're going to be there.
Your whole
family
is
well, my
musical.
My whole family. We call them the Flying Fawn family.
Yeah.
Because we're actors, we're musicians. My husband's a musician. My oldest brother, Michael's a jazz trombonist. He's married to a bass player, Marianne McSweeney. And the list goes on. My brother Tommy, my brother Jonathan, everyone, even my nephew Harrison is a voiceover artist, a very well-known voiceover artist. He's 16 now, so.
Holy cow.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. Our whole family is performing artists, but we were brought up in a lot of music and a lot of nutty laughter and half Italian, half
awesome.
Jewish, half,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
and
my family was exactly
the
same. My family was exactly the same except for the laughter.
Exactly.
But that's a whole other show.
But anyways, yeah, no, I just wanted to give a shout out to my family, especially to my mom and dad.
And mom and dad are coming.
Yes,
to the show,
they
right?
are going to be there. I'm very excited.
Okay.
To be
well,
there.
We will give a shout out to them too.
Yeah.
There we go.
Get yourself down
yeah,
there.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Okay.
Well, one more time, let me just tell them. Paul
sure.
Sterling's upstairs at the Federal, Melissa Fawn, Monday, November 8th. Dinner seating. I'm sorry, 5th. Yes, forgive
fifth.
Me. Yeah. November 5th.
It is your club, isn't it, Michael?
Sorry.
Looking at something else I wrote. The dinner seating is between 6:30 and 7 p.m. 8 p.m. showtime, 8 to 9, 5303 Lancashire Boulevard, North Hollywood, by reservation only. Very important that you call in, 818-754-8700, Monday, November 5th.
And before we get to our next guest, I want to give a little plug to this documentary thing
yes,
that Virginia
that.
Was supposed to talk to,
yes,
but I don't know where the lovely lady is, but she has a lot of plates spinning. But what she was going to talk about is this wonderful documentary that her mother, Elaine Madsen, a brilliant documentarian, has
and
put together.
Emmy Award winner.
An Emmy Award winner, yeah. yes. And, of course, Virginia being an Academy Award nominee for Sideways, among her many, many other things. This, I watched the trailer on the Internet, Michael. It was wonderful. This is a film called I Know a Woman Like That. I didn't see the whole thing, and I can't go to this tonight because I have rehearsal. But they're having a screening of it this evening. That's tonight. It's set from 7 to 9. This is at the Jeannie Madsen Gallery. It's 1431 Ocean Avenue in Santa Monica, California, at 1431 Ocean Avenue, as I said. Admission is free. There's a complimentary wine bar, and there is valet parking. To contact for that, 310-393-7436. This is a documentary about women and aging and sort of redefining aging. They mm-hmm.
I don't know how many women that she interviews.
16.
I think it's like 16.
Yeah.
And every one of them is over 70. I don't have the names in front of me, but I know Eartha Kitt is one of them. Rita Moreno is one of them. And they're not
Lauren Hutton,
yes. And not just celebrities, just women from all walks of life. And a fascinating study in redefining aging for women and really looking at getting older as this opportunity rather than of new developments in their life rather than sort of winding down, as it were. And it's very, very interesting. And I, just the trailer, 4.5 minutes, and I was already really affected by it. They did a they had a little interview out in front of the theater at a past screening, and they were asking women as they came out of the theater what they thought of the film. And the word inspiring kept coming up. I think every third woman who came out mentioned inspiring. And there were men there as well. It wasn't like it was, you know, all women. But it's a very, very fitting description of it. So once again, this
And this evening also, as it says here, it's a new beautiful awareness month. And of course, we're talking about breast cancer and women and honoring that cause, which this certainly must play into that to some extent.
Yeah. No, and but just did want to give some attention to that, the documentary, I Know a Woman Like That, screening tonight, and that's at the Jeannie Madsen Gallery, 1431 Ocean Avenue in Santa Monica. It's free, and there's wine. What more could you want? Free wine a great
free
documentary.
And valet parking.
And valet parking.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you.
Yeah,
just wanted
indeed.
To, let's meet our next guest, shall we?
Yes.
Do you mind if I give him the
please,
intro that he is
absolutely
due, sitting here so patiently and so
yes,
so quietly? From Broadway's Fosse to U.S. National Touring Companies of Chicago, Funny Girl, and Jesus Christ Superstar, he's a dancer, singer, choreographer, and recently a new father, first-time author, and yes, even a yoga instructor. You're not busy at all, are you? He's been seen on stage in Los Angeles in such shows as Cabaret, On Your Toes, The Wedding Singer, The Producer, Shenandoah, Fanny, Little Me, and Kiss of the Spider Woman. He's not only one of the hardest working guys in show business, but he's also one of the nicest, which I can attest to, having met him just recently. Mark Rees is with us.
How are
Hello,
you?
Hello, Mark.
Good, I'm here. Thanks.
You're here. You're here. And you all also are performing at Sterling's upstairs at the Federal, but a distinctly different vibe to your piece.
Totally. Totally 360, yeah.
Well, yes. You know what? You're not going to believe this. You're not going to believe this. Okay. Someone's on the phone.
Oh.
I got to put Mark off for 2 minutes while
thanks
we just
everyone
say hello.
Thanks. I'm
so sorry about that, Mark. Let's just give this a listen. You're on State of the Arts. Who are we speaking to?
Hey, I have Virginia Madsen.
Okay, throw her on, would you? Mark,
okay,
thank you so
yeah,
much
sure
for your patience on this. We just never knew when this call was coming in.
Virginia's on.
Yes.
Hello?
Hello, Virginia. How are you?
Hi.
God,
I'm so sorry.
It's
I'm
okay.
So
you're on the air, but unfortunately we don't have the time that we thought we had, but I already discussed the film briefly, but if
oh,
you could
God,
give
thank
us
thank you so much,
no,
Paul.
No problem, no problem. We're on the air currently, and if you could
oh,
give
I
us a sort of a thumbnail sketch in 2 minutes for our listeners, we would love to hear your take on I Know a Woman Like That. Can you encapsulate it
well,
for our listeners?
This came from experience where my mother and I were discussing why my mother was so fabulous.
Okay.
And, you know, she just never seemed to be afraid of how many candles were on the cake or wrinkles or, you know, she was just always so, and you know my mother, she's so youthful and so dynamic.
I
and
know.
I said, what makes you a woman like that? So we decided to sort of explore this question and started asking women and men, friends, strangers, you know, what they thought about this kind of woman. And everybody knows a woman like that. You know, everybody knows some lady down the street who's 90 years old and she's still in her garden. Or,
right, right.
You know, the ladies with the you know, dress in red and purple. You know those ladies?
Oh, yes, very much so. Yeah, the red hats.
And, but yeah. I think, yeah, and
yeah.
And they, you know, there's just extraordinary people. Like Rita Moreno is one of our women like that.
Yeah.
And so basically, mom is the director, I am the producer, and we followed these women through their lives and sort of asked them questions about what it meant to be old. And, you know, we see this in the media, it's always on how to stay young, as if there's something like it's an affliction of some kind.
Right,
to get
right,
old.
Right.
And,
yeah,
you know, when you see women who are you know, in their 70s, and they'll all come onto a stage with the whole makeover, and they'll go, why? They don't look a day over 30.
Right.
Well, our women all look old, and we're all going to go there.
Right.
And, but they're very youthful. And so it's not, this is not how to stay young. It's a new way to be old. And our women are from 64 to 95.
Wow.
95-year-old water skiing champion. And,
oh, wow.
And a 92-year-old yoga instructor who can stand on her fingertips while inverted.
Oh, my gosh.
And now they're, now that's not to say that all of the women in the documentary are fit, because some of them, you know, have had more challenges with the physical body and aging, and we talk about that. And here's the big one. Don't be scared, Paul. They're all having sex.
Oh. Oh, I'm sorry. We can't talk about that. This is the internet.
Not with each other.
This is the internet, Virginia. We can't have this.
Saved right there.
We don't film that. We don't film that part. But we do talk to them with their partners, and you know, and I can't believe that that was something that I thought. I consider myself very open-minded, like my mother, and I actually didn't think about, you know, men and that that's possible, you know, even without the little blue pill.
Right, right.
And so, but these are all questions. This is a conversation that women have been having for a very, very long time about what it means to be old and what aging really is,
right.
and how great a lot of us feel about it.
Right.
You know, I'm 51 this year, and I'm still haven't freaked out. And you know, and so it's kind of cool to hear, you know, not all of our women are famous. We have Lauren Hutney, who's our baby of the group at 64. And you know, we have a few well-known people there, like Gloria Steinem and Rita Moreno, and
yes.
But it is not it's just not really talked about in the way that this conversation has been, as we're having this conversation as women, all the time, all over the place. And whenever we screen the documentary, women are standing up and cheering and saying, "I wish someone was talking about this. Oh, thank God."
Yes,
we
mentioned that in the intro earlier about the women coming out of the theater. And
yes.
Let me just throw this out here, Virginia, not to cut you off, but we do want to get to Mark. Let me just throw this out here again. The documentary, I Know a Woman Like That, that is screening tonight between at 7 to 9. This is at the Jeannie Madsen Gallery, 1431 Ocean Avenue.
The Jeannie Madsen Gallery.
Jeannie? No, that's what I got.
Jeannie.
Yeah, that's what I said, didn't I?
Yes. Oh, I thought you said Virginia.
No, Jeannie. Yeah. No, Jeannie.
Okay.
Even though I know that you have many names through Jean Campbell, I'll stick with Jeannie Madsen here. 1431 Ocean Avenue in Santa Monica, 90401, and there's complimentary wine and valet parking. Virginia, I'm so sorry to cut you off, but we do want to get to Mark, for our guest who's sitting here so patiently.
Mother, one quick thing we should add.
Oh, and thank you guys so much. I'm sorry. So sorry I held you up.
Oh, no problem.
I'll come back anytime you'll have me. I hate the 405 freeway. And there you have it.
Okay.
Virginia, just one more thing we wanted to throw in. The contact telephone number, ladies and gentlemen, for you to attend this fabulous event is 310-393-7436. Tonight, as Paul said, between 7 and 9. Don't miss it. I Know a Woman Like That.
Screen. Thank you so much, Virginia. We'll chat again soon, okay?
Thanks so much, Paul. And okay. Thanks for waiting, Mark.
All right.
Okay. Bye.
And very thank you to you, many
Mark,
thanks to you, Mark.
I've
got to postpone you, so tell us about your show.
Well, you know what I got to ask him.
What's
first,
that?
Before anything.
What?
Can you stand on your fingers?
Can you stand?
yeah, I can.
Oh, that's right, because you're a yoga instructor,
that's
too.
That's right.
Stand on the fingers.
And you
have,
can?
You have fingers, you have long fingers,
but
like
this
I
means
do, yeah.
Like this you're standing?
Oh.
Or like this?
Like this.
Oh, well, we can all do that.
Yeah.
Can't we do that?
Yeah, we
I thought you meant like this, like a ballet person.
I can't do that on the tabletop, much less standing up. But, Mark, tell us about, for the listeners, if you could give us a synopsis of the show or what they could expect, as much
so
as you
exciting.
Want to regale
so cool.
The audience with without giving too much away.
Well, this is probably going to be a little different, too, this show that's being
yeah.
presented. It kind of came up, the idea came up... well, I hate to say it, but like just when I'd go to bed at night, sometimes I'd just lie there before I'd fall asleep and try to think of words that kind of described my life. And now with a new son, one of the first words that came to my mind was diapers. And my life was a lot about diapers. Not for me.
Right.
For Murray. And then I was thinking, I thought, well, what's another word? And then I thought, well, dishes, you know. You know, doing a lot of dishes. I'm changing a lot of diapers, and I'm doing a lot of dishes. And then I thought, well, what's another word? And I just do this, like, at night, like I said, when I'm in bed, just waiting before I go to sleep. I thought, well, dreams, you know, dreams. And I think dreams are still a really important part of my life, and they're still there, and they're still present. And so that's how the title came about. That was kind of like my working title, Diapers, Dishes, and Dreams. And then from there, everything just started to grow. Once I had those three words, then I just started developing the piece.
Okay. And you mentioned something in the formation of the show. There was a salon or some house that, that fosters new work? Or
Well, there's a great group in Studio City. It's called the Story Salon. And they meet on Wednesday nights at the Coffee Fix. And for the longest time, I'd always see a group that I was walking my dog and I think, what's going on in there? What are those people doing? And one night I finally went in and it's a group of writers and storytellers, and you can go there any Wednesday night and hear stories or tell stories. And I think the majority of this piece kind of came about through a course of time, having written down a lot of stories and then just trying to figure out how to kind of thread them and connect them together. So I would say I was able to put up about an hour of material at the Coffee Fix in April for a story salon in progress. It's called the Story Salon in Progress, where one writer or one person can speak for an hour.
Okay.
So I just wanted to kind of put material on its feet and see how it would be received.
And so it's not only just telling the stories, of course, but he's a singer as well, of course, being from New York and on the stage. And so he incorporates his singing and, you know, with very specific numbers chosen that are in tandem with the stories
with
that
the
you're
stories,
telling.
Yes. I think the stories came first, and then I started figuring out which songs to incorporate.
Exactly. Yeah.
So it was obviously received well enough that you wanted to expand it. You wanted to do a fully realized version of this. And how is this new version that you're doing at Sterling's Upstairs at the Federal? Like, what gravy have you added to this to make it different from
the... new and improved? Well, I've tried to add some technical elements that I wasn't able to incorporate at the coffee shop. Obviously, so I've worked hard on that, a couple technical elements added to the show.
It's multi-dimensional in that sense.
Yes. Yeah. And then I've added a few new stories and a few new songs that I wasn't able to use in the time that I was given at the Coffee Fix. Mm-hmm. So a few more stories, a few more songs, some technical elements, and then, of course, I have my help with... I've added the drummer. I didn't have a drummer at the Coffee Fix, so I wanted a drummer.
Yeah.
You know? And then I still have my three great friends who are helping me, Matthew Vargo, Sarah Cornell, and Brian Crawford.
Oh, okay, as other vocalists.
Yeah, and they also assist in helping telling the stories.
Oh, okay.
So it's very, very unique, and there's visuals. You know,
yeah, Michael, you said that,
and
you said it was unique, but how, I mean, expand on that, because, I mean,
well,
you know.
Well, he incorporated, first of all, his son, who is a beautiful child, probably not, I don't know if he's as old as Melissa's son.
He's older.
Older, little bit older.
Yeah, Bodhi's 4.5 now.
And you adopted him from birth, or did you have did this come to you in another way?
He was placed with us when he was 3 months old.
So foster.
Right, foster adopt through Southern California Foster Family and Adoption Agency.
I just had the pleasure of meeting him yesterday, son yesterday, who currently is calling Mark by his first name. He was calling him Daddy, I guess, but
Daddy
now...
Daddy R.
And is now saying, he was having, first of all, there's a very old soul in that boy, you know that, because this kid running around playing with his toys also puts them right back in order after he's done.
Oh, that doesn't sound like anybody I know,
yeah.
Mr. 5-year-old with the smoking jacket on.
And he's very in the moment with everything. He pays attention to everything. He looks around at everybody. Yeah. Am I right?
Yeah, he looks around, unless, of course, you want him to be looking at you.
Yeah.
And I would say, Bodhi, eye contact.
Yeah.
Eye contact.
Yeah.
And his eyes are always darting around. We're working on that, though.
Yeah.
We're working on it.
What's the Bill Cosby description of a 4-year-old? Is any child with a right arm that's 8 feet long?
Oh.
Just because they could get to anything, no matter how you try to put that other way.
But he is a very important part of the show as well. He's certainly featured
Okay.
yeah,
heavily
I think,
in the show.
I think the book that I wrote and the show that has been created, he's been a huge influence in the creativity and these new stories that are being told and things that I want to say.
Is there any crossover from the content-wise from the children's book to the stage piece that you're doing?
He's a common thread,
he's
obviously,
a common thread,
in
yeah.
both,
sure.
both pieces.
It was your life,
Right. But it has always been my idea that both of those things come together. The show comes together, the book comes together, and they're a package together. That's really what I wanted.
Wow.
And Mark's show sold out about 10 days ago.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
Has that ever happened? In the new venue? I know that it happened...
It's happening a lot at the Federal, yeah. I must say, proudly.
I mean, I know there's usually sellouts there. I just mean that
quickly. Yes, it's unusual to sell that far in advance.
Yeah.
But he has a big reach into the community and with many parenting groups that he's involved with and through your students and so many avenues.
Just nice people. nice, supportive
who
friends.
Who like you. And,
you know what
and
I mean?
Are supportive.
And you also have your finger in so many pies. I mean, just reading your bio of all the different things that you do. I mean, you just must have a wonderful universe of people around you.
Good, supportive friends.
Yeah. Supportive of the arts and all that.
Yep.
Yeah.
I think it's awesome. I think it's really wonderful, and I'm glad you're doing it because that's how we met. He came in to see, actually, a mutual friend who, Seth Hampton. You know Seth, don't you? Yeah, you've danced with him.
Yes. Yeah, I know who he is.
Seth did his debut at the club, and Mark was there to see it, and he approached me afterwards and asked if... we could talk about it, and that's how this all came about.
Michael, I don't have the dates and times in front of me
Mark's
show.
On the last
is it really?
Page,
is it on the last? Oh, there it is. You're right, and I will do it now. I'm sorry, and you put it in blue for me.
That's right.
For my aging eyes. This is Mark Reese. Sterling's upstairs at the Federal, and it is sold out, but you can get on the waiting list. The dinner seating is from 5:30 to 6, and then showtime is 7 to 8, and the address, of course, for Sterling's upstairs at the Federal is 5303 Lancashire Boulevard. In NoHo, reservation only 818-754-8700. That's 818-754-8700. This is October 28th, but the lovely Melissa Fahn is November 5th. Did I have that right?
Correct.
At the same location, same phone number, 818-754-8700. For tickets, same dinner time, same
No, not same dinner
channel.
Time. Melissa is an hour later. Everything's an hour later. 6:30 seating for dinner, 8 o'clock show.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Good. Well, thank you for... And Mark, do you have a website for yourself? Are you working on one?
Working on creating that.
Thing? Okay, I always just like to ask people, so if it is, we can get that out there.
The Facebook. I'm like Melissa, kind of recently entered that world.
Yeah. The Facebook. Yeah. You know when they call it the Facebook.
The Facebook, yeah.
You know they're new.
Yeah.
They're new.
Yeah.
So can we do 2 minutes of baptismal?
Can we? I mean, I don't know if both of them have a tail. We have
you
two
have
minutes. Do either
an
of you...
embarrassing moment.
Either of you have a performance disaster you can share?
Melissa's being...
Do you want one?
Go ahead.
The first one that comes to mind, I know we only have a minute or two, but the first one that comes to mind was when we did the Tony Awards for Wicked, and it was, you know, so grand and fabulous. Oh my gosh, I'm on the Tonys, and everyone's watching, and we did a couple of numbers from the show, but then we did, it was like a combination number, and it ended with the whole defying gravity, and Adina goes up, and we all come running out and say, look at her, she's wicked. So, you know, in the show, myself and one other performer are the first ones that come running out. So I thought, oh my gosh, we're going to be on national TV. I'm running out. I'm going to be the first one that comes out. And there's like dry ice all over the stage at Radio City, which is already very slick if you know where I'm going. So I run out and I fall right down in the dry ice. And then I said, I can't believe this is happening. I'm on national TV. I better get right back up. And I went right back up, and my arm came up. So I thought, all right, I wonder if anyone noticed.
I wonder if anyone noticed.
We go to the party, and we drink a lot of champagne. And I get home at 3 in the morning or whatever it is, and I put on my little VCR. And I have this huge bruise on the side of my hip. And I watch it, and there I am. I run out, and I fall right down, and then I pop right back up again. But I thought it was the funniest thing to watch.
Oh.
But it, you know, mortifying yet so funny.
Is that a YouTube clip? Is that something we could see?
No, you might be able to. I've put myself
hysterical.
Out there and here with this now.
That's hysterical.
So, yeah.
That's live theater.
Oh man,
Mark, do you have one?
The first thing that comes to mind is when this is community Theater way back
All
when.
The best are there.
You know, Annie Get Your Gun, really young kid, and the prop table. I was just like, hey, look at those handcuffs. You know, like, hey, you know, nobody touched the props. You never touched the props. Like, I'm sure we could put, hey, I'm going to put one on my wrist, and you put one on your wrist, and I'm sure we could get them off. We could just... Doesn't it just flow through or something? Let's try it. Let's try it. So there I was, me with one handcuff on and another performer with the other handcuff on. And I don't know, just I guess that's how you learn your lessons when you're starting out.
That's what.
Don't touch other people's props.
Did you have to do the whole show handcuffed together?
No, we just had to get help. We had to find someone to help us. But
man, I saw where that was going. Just backstage.
Of course, today he uses handcuffs, but it's entirely different.
There we go. Yeah. There we go. I want to thank you both for coming on, Michael and I both, of course. And I want to thank you, especially Mark, for your patience
thank
and being
so
such a generous a guest with your time. We'd love to have you back on the show. And Melissa, thank you so much. Looking forward to that.
Thank you,
Michael, as always,
thank you, Paul.
And I think what I'd like to do, if I can, is we'll have Melissa play us off the air with a little bit more of Cold from
her album.
See
you on the radio next week.
Avignon. So we'll see you then.
Listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Paul Strolley right here on LA Talk Radio.